Don. I appreciate him so much. I'd usually talk to him one, two, three times a week, every other week. Always a dear, faithful friend. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms 18. Psalm 18. I've entitled this message, The One Who Can Be Trusted. The One Who Can Be Trusted. The Spirit of God moved upon King David to pen this psalm of praise and thanksgiving. And it was based upon an event that happened in David's life. Now, little words above, the Spirit of God moved upon the writers to put this little part in here. It tells us what David was thinking. It says to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And that is found in 2 Samuel 22:1. If you want to go, this is where it's, you know. But it struck me as I read that title, that little part we just read there, how David was moved by God's Spirit to give a title to himself. David gave a title to himself. He said, Psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. He didn't say Psalm of David, King of Israel. He didn't say Psalm of David, the man after God's own heart, sweet psalmist of Israel. Here's what he said. The servant. Oh, what a precious title. That's the title that the Lord himself possessed. Isaiah 42:1, God speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, Behold my servant, my willing, obedient bondman, bond slave. You that know the Lord, love the Lord. Doesn't that title say, that's what I want to be, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, whom I keep, whom I retain, who I help, mine elect. The Lord referred to as the elect of God. Boy, that's another title. This world hates that word. They hate that word, the elect. But I think, oh, but for the grace of God, oh, that God would choose to set his affection on me. Somebody said, I hate that word. That's just not fair. Scripture says if God had not given us, had a small remnant, a remnant according to the election of grace, we'd all been like Sodom and Gomorrah. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment. That is, he's going to establish truth to the Gentiles. I know how the world speaks of servant, often with a note of ridicule, and like it's some kind of a second-class citizen. But for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, a servant, a vessel for God's use of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. You know, he noticed, he said, I'm a servant first. God called me to be an apostle, but I'm his servant. James said the same thing, James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said it, Jude said it, John said it, when he penned the book of the Revelation. servant. Well, it's a beautiful picture of Christ. David, as all believers, could say these words, being found in the Lord, servant. So let's just listen. Let's just hear. I'm going to look at verses 1, 2, 3. Psalm 18, verse 1. David speaks here confidence in the one that had loved him, the one he loved, but who loved him first. He said, verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, Jehovah, all caps, my strength. You know, the Lord said in Proverbs 8:17, I love them. I love them. He's everlastingly loved them. I love them that love me in time. God's people, the ones he's everlastingly loved, in time, they're going to love him. But he's going to call. He's going to call. I love them that love me and those that seek me early. Diligently is what it means. Those that seek me diligently. Oh, how every believer struggles with that. Boy, I want to seek the Lord. I want to seek him diligently. I want to read these scriptures. I want to hear what God has to say. I want to ask him. Mark, and I struggle every moment with it. I'm so ashamed of myself when I hear, read, pray. Struggling all the time, but I do. I want to. We love him because he first loved us. And the one that David loved was the Lord, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, Jehovah himself, my strength, the source of my strength, saving, keeping strength. Believers love the thrice holy God who is their covenant God. I love the Lord. Well, you see that, you know, it's Jehovah, capital, 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 capital. Covenant God, covenant God. The God who is the Father who chooses in strength. My counsel is going to stand, as we say. The Son who redeemed in strength, got the job done. He redeemed them from their sins. Redeemed them. And the Spirit of God who regenerates in strength, in power. When he comes and he removes that heart of stone, gives a new heart, you know what? He makes them really willing in the day of his power. I love the Lord, my strength. The strength of his people. Look at verse 32 in this Psalms 18. It is God that girdeth me with strength, maketh my way perfect. Girds them with Christ, who is their righteousness. That righteousness that is accepted. Because he's accepted. He that girdeth me with the whole armor of God maketh my way perfect. God's people know themselves to be weak in self. We know that. No believer is going to admit that he's strong in himself. Paul the Apostle says, when I'm weak, when God made me to know my weakness, that's when I'm strong. Because I'm only strong in him. Strong in the Lord. The Apostle Paul was moved by the Spirit of God in 2 Corinthians 12:10 to say, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. The world, man by nature, thinks himself to be strong. You know that. Thinks himself to be able, has the ability to be strong in reconciling himself back to God. But the psalmist said in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. All these words of safety, comfort. Look at verse 31 in Psalm 18 right here. Who is a God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? Who is God save Jehovah? Where is absolute security? This life going to be over. I mean, all these things I mentioned before, first service, this is going to be over so fast. I mean, these things that we're going through right now are just, I've said before, a blip. And the Lord himself is the only security that a believer has. The world and its false religion has created a God of its own imagination, false religion that men say can save if they're, you know, willing to allow him to do this. Hold your place right there. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy 32. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32, verse 31, 32. Deuteronomy 32. Listen to what the Lord says about the little g God of this world. Deuteronomy 32, verse 31. Look exactly how it says it. 31, verse 31. For their rock, look at that lowercase r, is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is of the poison of dragons, cruel venom of asp. The gods of this world, little g gods of this world, they're not wise. They're not powerful. They're not gracious. Because they're not gods. They're nothing. They're nothing. The God that this world's religion, this God that men say they pray to. You're praying unto the Lord. They're going to pray and they're believing that God is wanting to save them. That he can if they'll let him, if they'll give him their heart. He wants to. I'm telling you, that is no God. They're not praying to anybody. There is no God like that hears. No God like that hears. There's nobody out there somebody's praying to. There's one God. And he's God. And he's sovereign. And all these men that are standing up preaching this little g God that died, that sent his son to make salvation possible. I'm telling you, he's not there. There is no God beside me. So I'm not just making this up. I'm telling you the truth. They're praying to nobody. There's nobody out there like that. No, nobody hears. The Lord, verse 2, back to 18, Psalm 18, is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. He's my fortress. What is that? He's my stronghold. He's the stronghold of the sheep. He's the city of refuge. He's the haven of rest for those that are being kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. David said, he is my deliverer. Look in here, still in Psalm 18, look at verses 4 to 10. The sorrows of death compassed me. There's the Lord speaking under inspiration of God's Spirit. The floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of the temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. Then went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. The Lord himself said, I was compassed about. Bulls of Bashan took hold. He said, the sins, my sins were more than the hairs of my head. I cried unto my deliverer, and he hurt me. And he bowed heaven down. He bowed or bent down heaven, is what he said. At my cry, in my distress, in my need, in my moment, he came down, the scripture says, verse 7, and the earth shook when he came to my rescue. The foundations of the hills moved and were shaken. Hold your place there again and turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 50 to 53. Matthew 27, 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Somebody said, you think that really happened? Absolutely. Absolutely. God Almighty called upon his Father. God Almighty in human flesh. And he said, I cried unto my deliverer, and he heard my voice, and he bowed heaven down, and the earth shook. Look at verse 16, 17 of our passage here in Psalm 18. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. I think the Lord said that. He was the absolute submissiveness of the servant of God. He put his all, his trust, every bit of it in his Father. He said, I bow. Someone said, I don't see how that the Lord could say that. My friend, let's go back to our first service this morning. Don't strive against your Maker. I'm going to say, He humbled himself, made himself of no reputation. We don't know the depth of his humility. We don't know the depth of his bowing, of him giving himself. I put here God Almighty that said, I give everything, all of my hope into his hands. Lord, teach me something of his submissiveness. He took me. He delivered me, my strong enemy that hated me, for they were too strong for me. When God delivers his own. Now, he doesn't wait for us. He draws us, making us willing in the day of his power. And submissiveness was known to the Father. Submissiveness, true submissiveness, was known to the Father in the person of his dear Son. And that submissiveness charged to us all that God Almighty has put in His Son now in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what David says. The Lord's my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer. He's my strength in whom I trust. I don't have a clue what it is to trust God. I don't have a clue what it is to trust God. Truly, to just not have any hope in myself. I don't have a clue what that is. But He did. Again, I don't know the depth to which He submitted Himself. But whatever it was, God accepted it. And accepted it on our behalf. Look at verse 43 in our passage of Psalm 18. Look at 43. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Look at verse 48. He delivered me from my enemies. I'm with you right here. I get it. These words are so beyond our comprehension. Somebody said, well, don't you think the Lord Jesus Christ could have? Absolutely. He could have done whatever he, but He submitted Himself to His Father. He delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, Thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. I needed submission to the Lord, and I couldn't give it. But He did. And now, in Christ, the Lord delivers His people. He delivered them from the penalty of death, sin by the shedding of His own blood, deliver us from the darkness of sin and unbelief, the power of His Holy Spirit in the day of regeneration, and finally, in that day, the Lord Himself will deliver us from judgment in the day of our standing before Him. There's no condemnation for them that in Christ Jesus, but in that day, He will verbally speak that word of deliverance. Enter in, beloved of the Lord. Inherit that which was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Back in Psalm 18, verse 2 again. The Lord my God, my strength, my rock, in whom I will trust. Believers don't trust in a what? What do you mean? I mean, they don't trust in a profession. They don't trust in a baptism. They don't trust in a decision. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. They trust a person. A person. I don't trust in knowing the 5 points of Calvinism. I believe them. But I don't trust that. I don't trust in 5 points. I trust in Christ, of whom these points declare. The Scripture says, I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Whenever Thomas, whenever Thomas that had doubted a week before that the Lord had risen and the Lord appeared to His disciples, what did he say? My Lord and my God. Him. Verse 47 in Psalm 18 says this, it is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. It is God that executes vengeance, subdueth, destroys those under me. The Lord is either going to subdue in this life. He's going to subdue His people in this life. He's going to break them right now, or He's going to break them in the day of judgment. But I can promise you this, according to the word of God, every knee's going to bow. Every knee's going to bow. Those that will not come right now, you will. You're going to. Those that will not have this man to rule over them, you will. He's going to rule. He shall do it. He's going to destroy in that day, or mercifully conquer this day. Verse 2, again, going on, he's my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. You know, I've always looked, and I'm sure many here know this, a buckler, you've heard that, it's the buckler. You might say, well, it's a shield. That's right, it is a shield, but it's a little bitty shield. It's a little old bitty shield. It's not a big shield. I just missed it. He's my buckler. It's a shield. I read up on a buckler. I tried to do a little history here, and it was a shield, and it covers his hand is what it's doing. And it's the hand, the opposite hand of the one you got your sword in, obviously. But it's an offensive weapon too. It's defensive, but it's offensive too. It's you can get it out there. It's real easy to move. It's a small shield, and with the sword in hand, and the Lord says, you know, he's my buckler, my personal protection is what it comes down to. My buckler and the horn, the power of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge. Look here in Psalm 18. Look at verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. It's refined. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. It's a personal shield. A little shield that protected the hand that was used. Look at verse 35 in this chapter. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up. Thy gentleness hath made me great. Verse 39. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued unto me those that rose up against me. He's the horn. He's the strength. He's the power of his people's salvation. Life. He's the hope of glory. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Look at verse 6, in my distress, again we read this, but read it again. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. The Lord, who has in the stead of his people submitted himself unto his Father, earning by his obedience that righteousness that robes us. Now, we can say in him, and only in him, I will call upon the Lord, who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. God's people never stop addressing, calling out to him. Time of danger, times when they're not even aware of danger. They cry unto the Lord. They know they need him. And he's worthy. He's worthy. They know that, to be praised. And he's promised to save his own from their enemies. What are the enemies? Satan, self, sin, this world. He said, I shall be saved from my enemies. He's going to deliver us from his all. They love him, they trust him, and they call upon him. He's the Lord. David said, I will, verse 1 to 3, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Who spoke those words first? The Lord Jesus Christ. And every believer in Him says the same thing. I pray God bless it. I've named it the one that can be trusted. And He is. To His glory and our eternal good. Amen. All right.